Our text today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. Jesus shares with us these words. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place His sheep at the right hand and the goats in His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the King will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Then the King will turn to those on the left and say, Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. And then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I will tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen? Well, today we are in our third week of our series, Renewing the Old While Embracing the New. And the old that we are renewing are those five practices that helps churches truly be the church. Things like radical hospitality and passionate worship, risk-taking mission and service, which we're talking about today. And then next week, this understanding of intentional faith development. And then we're going to finish up with generosity, but not just any kind of generosity, extravagant generosity. And I hope that you're going to discover that these practices are not in any certain kind of order. We don't do radical hospitality and then check off the next one, passionate worship, and then check and down the list we go. But these are practices that overlap and meld into each other as we, the church, seek to be the church. And they're practices. In other words, we don't master them and then go on to the next one or to something else. You know, we practice continually. It's kind of like baseball. You know, what do children do before a game of baseball? Say they're in Little League or what do they do? They practice, right? They practice. And how do they practice? What do they do? Come on, what do? Throw the ball around. What else? Bat. Yeah, they bat practice. They catch grounders and pop-ups and swing their bats and all of that stuff, right? What about the major leaguers? They've arrived, right? They're professionals, right? What do they do before a ball game? Yeah, they swing the bats, they catch grounders and pop-ups and all of that kind of stuff because it's practice. They're practices, whether you're little bitty or whether you're in major league. It's a practice. Practice is something that we never stop. And we as a congregation are to continually practice and develop our gifts and our talents. And we do a pretty good job here at Selma Christ with hospitality. We have good faith development opportunities. We certainly have passionate worship, a good missions program, and we're no doubt a generous congregation. Yet we continue to practice and develop further in these areas so that we can keep on being effective in our present world. Well, today I want us to look here at this third piece, risk-taking mission and service. So what comes to your mind when you think about this word, these words, risk-taking? What's risk-taking? What's that mean for you, risk-taking?
Chance of rejection.
Yeah.
Stepping out of your comfort zone.
Risk taking. Dangerous? Dangerous? Yeah. What else?
Things might never be the same.
Things may never be the same. Yeah. Costly. Yeah. What else? What about the word adventure? Adventure. Yeah. In 1874, Ernest Henry Shackleton was born in Ireland. And when he was very, very young, he moved to London where he was educated. And there, Ernest's father wanted him to be a doctor, following him in his footsteps. But instead, Shackleton joined the merchant navy at the age of 16, and as a sailor, he traveled to many, many places, but his greatest desire was to travel to the north and to the south poles. And so in December of 1914, Shackleton finally set sail for the South Pole in command of the ship Endurance, and he took with him a crew of 27 people, 27 men, of whom had answered the following recruitment notice that Shackleton placed in the newspaper. And here is the announcement in that newspaper. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of constant darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Do you know that so many men responded to this ad for Shackleton's journey that they had to turn people away and away and away and away? Why was that? Why, what? Maybe it was because it wasn't just going to be another boat ride. There was risk involved. There was purpose involved. There was life built into this journey. Oh, it got one's blood pumping just thinking about it. And that, dear friends, is what risk-taking mission and service is all about. You see, doing mission and service work isn't just a nice thing that we Christians do. It's invigorating. It is to be full of life. It is exciting. It's something that we need to do. We have to do. It's something that we must do. It's at the very reason why God truly put us here. I kind of like how Bishop Snazy puts that. He says that a church will die if it's not doing the kind of mission and service work that Jesus talked about and that Jesus demonstrated. The church will die without mission, maybe not overnight, but it'll die slowly and surely. It will gradually waste away as all of its energies and its resources turn more and more inward upon itself, and the church becomes merely a monument to the work and the witness of saints gone by. Remember when we used to? Remember when the church was? Yeah. Well, you see, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus tells the parable of the sheep and the goats. To the sheep, to the righteous, Jesus extends his invitation to enter into the kingdom, saying, you know, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was in prison and you visited me. Truly, I tell you, as you've done it to the one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. To the goats, to the not so righteous, Jesus sends them away from his presence, because just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. I want to tell you, church, Jesus leaves no doubt as to the necessity of risk-taking mission
and service for our eternity. We are to serve others in Christ's name because our lives, really, you know, eternity, really, it depends on it. Indeed, in risk-taking mission and service, we bring eternity into the present, to those who are in need. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? On earth, as it's in heaven. In other words, we ask for God's will to be done so that we might bring something of heaven to earth. In risk-taking mission and service, the church indeed brings the presence of God, something of heaven, into the lives of others. You see, the future of the church depends really upon risk-taking mission and service. A congregation that truly loses this profound reasons for its existence will certainly wither and die. And the Church of Jesus Christ exists for others. It exists for our world. What can happen and what often does happen is that congregations move from existing for the world to existing for their own sake. And too often, churches see their mission not as reaching out to those outside the church for Jesus, but as just taking care of those within its walls. And I want to tell you, church, it's important to care for our membership. It's essential that we do that. But focusing inward on all of those, on all the members, instead of outward on those in need, those who need to embrace God's love and God's saving love, is a recipe for stagnation and no doubt decline. And church, you know, I've been in ministry now for like 34 years as a pastor, and I am convinced that the primary reason the church turns inward is that it becomes afraid. Afraid. Not that the church becomes afraid to be in mission and service, but we become afraid to be in risk-taking. Risk-taking mission and service. Let me give you a couple examples. There's a story of a pastor in Georgia that was at a conference in Atlanta, and it was late. He was hungry. He happened by one of these fast food restaurants, and just as he got near to the door, a homeless man came up to him and asked him for some money so that he might get something to eat. Well, a police officer saw what was going on, and so he went in to intervene, but this pastor said, no, it's all right. I'm not going to give him money, but what I'll do is we'll go in and we'll have a meal. And so into the restaurant they went. And there they stood in line. They ordered. They got their food, and this pastor noticed that this homeless man was kind of just waiting for him, waiting to see where he was going to sit. And so then this pastor, he went to sit down, and this homeless man started heading away. And it was then that the pastor invited him to come and join him. And really, with a look of surprise, this homeless man immediately accepted, and he sat down, and there they shared this meal together in conversation. And of course, this homeless man hadn't bathed in quite a while, and the pastor said that you could really tell that. But there they sat in this restaurant and talked. And this man revealed how he was from a very dysfunctional family. His whole family lived there in Florida. Growing up, his father was really nowhere to be found, nowhere in the picture. His mother was constantly strung out on drugs and alcohol, and his mother's boyfriend had been verbally and physically abusive. But he did have a sister still living there in Florida, and he spoke fondly of her, but one day, I guess, he decided that he would just strike it up out on his own, and he ended up in Atlanta where he had no job. Well, he had a job for a little while, but he ended up losing that because he had no residence. He was homeless. And this pastor, as they talk, he took the risk. And he said, He said, what if I was to buy you a ticket back to Florida? I mean, it's a whole lot warmer there, and you could, you know, maybe stay with your sister for a little bit and all. And this man kind of just looked down and he said, I can't. He said, because nobody wants me back there. Can you imagine how lonely? Nobody wants me. How awful that would feel. After that, they talked a little while longer, and this homeless man said something that completely rearranged this pastor's thinking and approach to mission and service. He said to him, you know, he said, everyone who buys me dinner takes their food and they sit somewhere else, leaving me to sit by myself. He said, but you know, he said, you asked if I would sit down with you and have dinner with you, and you spent time with me and you talked with me. He said, I want to tell you, I feel so lonely, and I've gotten used to rejection and being ignored. He said, I just want to tell you how special this has been for me and how I want to thank you. Church, I want to tell you, there is so much more to missions than our giving dollars to our mission program and giving dollars to those who are in need. And yes, it is essential that we support missions financially and that we care for others in this way, but it is equally important to put our hands and our feet into the mix. And you see, this is where risk-taking mission and service comes to play. Like this man, what if we could not only offer a cup of soup and a sandwich in Jesus' name, but also give Jesus himself by just sitting down with people and sharing our presence? What if we not only invite people to worship, but also brought them to worship with us and sat with them? You know, the homeless, the poor, the marginalized will indeed take what we offer. If we offer them a hot meal, they'll quite likely take that. But the question that we really need to ask is, as followers of Jesus who actually spent time with those who are on the fringes of society, is, will they take more? Will they accept our time and our presence? Are we willing to sacrifice some of our time in order to offer our presence in Jesus' name? Are we willing to really be risk takers? Are we really willing to serve? Well, the congregation at St. Mark's United Methodist Church in Goshen became risk takers. It's a church of about 50 people on any given Sunday. Susan, my wife, was pastoring this congregation. It was a three-quarter time parish a few years back. When she arrived at this church, they had just went through a $130,000 embezzlement. A 75-year-old church secretary decided to pay herself a little extra over about 4 or 5 years. And so Susan walked into this real mess and a great deal of mistrust and hurt by the members of that congregation. And that's expected. This congregation had been full-time appointment for years and years. They've always had a full-time elder, but now because of its financial issues and because of that, its drop in attendance because of the embezzlement and all, it had to go less than full-time. Susan arrived there at this church, and it probably took about a year and a half or so, and struggle after struggle, this congregation began to get beyond that trust issue, beyond its financial issues. Not that the finances became better, because they did not, but they began to trust God in their finances. And then they began to look outward. to where God was leading them, not to where they had been, and not to that embezzlement, and not to their problems, but to the possibilities that God was laying before them. And they took a risk. They took a real risk. They became a congregation, they decided, that would minister and reach out to those who were incarcerated there at the Goshen jail. And so on Sunday morning, there would maybe be two or three inmates or so, prisoners from the jail, along often with their families, would come there to church at St. Mark's. And Susan would then have to sign their paper saying that they were there, and they would take that paper and bulletin back to the jail so that they knew that's where they were at. And so anyway, these men and women that were coming there from the jail, they were just loved on by the church. And because of that love and because of being treated as people of worth, the families of these prisoners started coming to other things like dinners and church and other things that the church was doing. But the greatest thing that happened is that many of these prisoners discovered Jesus at St. Mark's. And guess what happened whenever they were released? Guess where they and their families would start attending church? Yeah. Any given Sunday, 2-3 prisoners every week. And every week after that, until they were released, and often they would come back to church, and then there would be more prisoners, and they would come back to church. But because of this risk-taking mission, St. Mark's took on even a new step that caused even a greater risk for them. To turn their upstairs Sunday school classroom that was not being used into a homeless shelter for women, and then also women with children that were in crisis. And St. Mark's then partnered with the Open Door and the Goshen Interfaith Hospitality Network, who helped them to secure a grant, and they did work to turn that whole educational wing upstairs that they were not using into this place that would have bedrooms and showers and a place for children and a place that was safe, where women and children could come to in crisis and stay even up to like 6 months here at this facility. Following that step, then they took on what was called the Goshen Tent City. It was a whole community of homeless that lived in tents. This is where most of the homeless stayed, actually, in Goshen. And the church opened its lower level of the gymnasium and classrooms downstairs, and just any place they could put a bed for the homeless. Whenever the temperatures got frigid, whenever the temperatures dropped to bitter cold, then it became the site to where the homeless could come from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. every morning, every night. And risk. Think about the questions that they had to go through. Well, what's going to happen to our church? What if it gets dirty? What if something gets stolen? What if it gets torn? What if something happens like a beautiful window gets broke? It was decided that people were more important.
People who are struggling for a place to live now have a new option. New at 6, a homeless shelter is now open in Goshen.
WSBT 22's Elkhart County reporter Ed Ernstis tells us donations from area churches are funding the operation.
The shelter has bedrooms for families with children and for single women. It has places to study, relax, and for kids to play. St. Mark's United Methodist Church provided the space. Goshen's Interfaith Hospitality Network worked to put it in place.
They get reviews every 30 days, but they can stay up to 6 months now. So they get time to get on their feet and hopefully never to be back into the situation.
The shelter does warrant and background checks on those staying here. 14 of the 21 beds here are taken.
It's very personable. We eat breakfast and lunch with our guests every single day. We have all set at the dining room table.
There are three staff members during the day.
We now have overnight staff provided by Faith Mission. So we have security guards instead of volunteers with them.
She says since the shelter has opened up, she has heard from a number of people, families and single women who are staying here. They all say it is like having a second family that can provide support, some who they can relate to. One of those staying here, a single mom with two children.
I feel so safe. My children, I love the people because it's people, everybody respect to me, and I feel like I have a new family in here. Everything is clean.
It feels like a one big, large family.
And Ernst is WSBT 22 News.
Well, here's a little church, about 50 people. A church that often looked to its past, to its glory days, and it said, remember when? Remember whenever our church was full? You know, remember when we built our gymnasium and had such high hopes of bringing people in? And remember when our parking lot was filled and the church was thriving? This little church. This little church is no longer a little church. You know? This church now is growing and thriving. It's got a whole different mix of people in this congregation. It's got homeless. It's got those who are formerly incarcerated along with their families. It's got women in crisis and finding hope in life here, and little old ladies and men of that original group of 50 people or so, and it still has the prisoners coming in every Sunday. This church today is maxed out to the seams on any given Sunday. Sanctuary filled. Why? Because they discovered the truth of what Jesus wants His church to be. And it was never about them. Risk-taking mission and service. You know, our financial mission giving can only be a part of what Jesus meant whenever He said, I was hungry and you gave me food, or I was thirsty and you gave me a drink, or I was a stranger and you invited me in. You see, there's more to it than just giving financially. There's an action side. There is a risky side. You see, when we really do need to put ourselves into it and take the risk to truly come alongside another and love people in Jesus' name, just like that pastor did in Georgia, not only buying a meal, but sharing that meal, just like those parishioners at St. Mark's who loved on those people who others really saw as unlovable. See, friends, this is risk-taking mission and service. It's truly about coming alongside someone else in need and in some way showing them the love of Jesus through you. And it can happen anywhere, in any church, where any group of people who call themselves Christian can be found. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank You for the example that You give us, Jesus, on how to reach out, on how to care for others, to truly know what it is to take risk and to love people into Your kingdom. Help us to be faithful in that, Jesus. Help us to not be people who just play it safe, but who truly reach out and love others into Your kingdom by being and by doing, and not just by speaking and giving. For this we ask and this we pray, Jesus, in Your name. Amen. Small groups are just about to begin. Please remember to get with Sherry or get with Jody and let them know if you'd like to be a part of either the Overcomer or you'll get through this studies. They should be a blessing. So go now in the strength and the power and the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all, and may you experience His peace. Amen.